KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
That's right. We're here to rock your geek world, and we're going to rock it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe if you're listening to this in the future, just imagine whatever time of day it is you're experiencing, we're going to rock said fill-in-the-blank time.
This time you're listening to us will be awesome is what we're trying to say.
Yes. Thank you for... clearing that up for everyone.
Of course. That's what I'm here for.
Yes!
To help us out.
Yay! Yay! Feel the love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're going to feel the love tonight. You're going to feel it, baby.
That's you feel... I'll stop.
No. Keep going.
There's one vote for yes, one vote for no. I don't know how to feel about this.
Ooh.
I know my voice is not nearly as good as Mr. Elton John, so I'll just let that one sit for a while.
Speaking of Elton John, so how have you been since last we spoke?
I've been pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, been fairly busy. Haven't unfortunately been able to sit down and do much gaming.
That's fine.
Yeah. But did
You're
actually
fired. That's
whatever.
All.
I did start picking up since Young Justice popped back onto Netflix, been watching that again.
And okay.
I forgot how much I liked that show until I started watching it, and I'm like, I like this show a lot. And I kind of like the spin they put on Beast Boy for this one. I don't know if it's canonical. I can't remember if it's canonical or not, but like the way they adjusted the character. I'm like, oh, it's kind of fun.
Who's the crew in this one, in this version?
In the second season of Young Justice, they've expanded it more. It's sort of like, you know, Justice League Unlimited to Justice League.
Okay.
So like there is still like the core JLA team and and some of the ancillary like Captain Atom and some of those from up as a part of it, but the core of Young Justice is Robin, Nightwing. Nightwing's kind of like the head of the Young Justice organization now.
Makes sense.
And so there's so that's Dick Grayson, and the current Robin is Tim Drake.
Okay.
There is Beast Boy, who's got added in season 2, and Ms. Martian, who's the daughter or the niece of Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
There's Superboy, who is clone of Superman, who's half human as well, so he's only partially Kryptonian. Who else is? Oh yeah, Kid Flash, otherwise known as Impulse. But
okay,
and
is this the one where it's Lex DNA?
Yes,
okay.
Lex and Superman are the progenitors of Superboy.
Okay,
and the script is fairly tight. The animation is still what kind of knocks me off my butt. I'm like, oh man, this show looks so good. I know we're still in the early episodes, and like sometimes like they push the budget to the ends of the seasons to kind of like bring people in and then like satisfy them at the end.
Yeah.
And Wonder Girl is now Wonder Girl and Batgirl are now in the part of the team as well.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, so they upped the female quotient as well. It's a lot of fun. I've been enjoying getting back into season 2. And there's rumors of season 3 on the horizon, but it's still rumor stage.
When did this originally come out?
2012, 2013, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It might have been 2014, but like it's been a little while, but like it still has enough like fan fervor that a number of people like have been clamoring for season 3 since there's been groups that were somewhat dissatisfied with season two, but still like the show enough they want more of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and just, I mean, comic stuff is just getting bigger and bigger. It, yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, it's not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, especially for DC. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the kind of they're starting to get that ball rolling.
Yeah, and their animation has always been much stronger than Marvel's animation. Like.
Yeah.
So. And this is kind of playing to their strengths, like bringing that back. And I'm sure that's improving their popularity just a bit more as well. So, yeah. But that's kind of the main thing that I've been doing that isn't gaming or something like that. Mm-hmm. Caught a little bit of your stream the other day.
Oh, okay.
The Far Cry, right?
Yes. Yes. I decided to pick a Far Cry game up. Mm-hmm. I've played some in the past. Like, I never played, I never played four. Like, I played, but I played some of three, mm-hmm. and, you know, a little bit of two, and kind of some of the old, like, original one. Played right. through that one.
Did
I forget
you do
the version
the,
for 360 is where I played it on. I forget.
Okay.
It was Far Cry, like, Predator or something like that. But
I know there was one, Far Cry Blood Dragon.
That was a spinoff of three.
Right.
Like it used, I mean, they kind of think did a disservice to it of like calling it like Far Cry 3, like Blood Dragon, because it made a lot of people think that like, oh, I need Far Cry 3 to play this game. But
right.
You don't. Like it has, the only thing it has really anything to do with it is it uses like the map
mm-hmm.
layout. That's okay. about it. Like,
and the game engine probably. But.
Yeah. But I mean, like you don't need. You don't need a copy of three. You don't need like to have any like. Just, oh, I've never played the story. Well, I would be lost. Like, no, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. So yeah, I played that one. This was short and mm-hmm. sweet. Speaking of short and sweet, guess who just stopped in?
The shortest and sweetest of them all.
Oh yeah.
A little less short, but he is pretty sweet.
He's. Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
It's glad to get acknowledgement for my sweetness every now and again.
Who are you though? Just in case for the first time listeners are like, who is this sultry voice?
I am sweet, sweet Jason.
Oh my! Two sweets.
Oh
two sweets.
My.
Maybe three by the end of the show.
Maybe we'll
ooh.
See.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to knock you guys out with three sweets right all.
That's a lot
in
of
a
sweet.
Row.
That
right
is.
Off the bat.
We still have some more show to do. We don't want to get passed out on the side too
yeah.
early.
We don't want to give them a sugar coma.
Mm-hmm. Right exactly.
Now. That's true. We need people awake.
We do.
Alert.
Yes.
Especially if they're driving.
Yes, especially if you are driving.
Right.
Please, please.
Yeah, please stay awake.
Focus on the road. Just let the geek dude carry you through.
Yeah. but yeah, going back to Far Cry Primal, mm-hmm. I was, when I you know first heard about it, I was like, oh, that's cool. They're a completely different setting. That's mm-hmm. nice, you know, from the previous Far Cries where
right.
kind of sticking with the same sort of thing. Different locales, but, you know, same...
General
same,
theory.
Yeah, same timeline and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So I was like, oh, wow, 10,000 BC version. Okay, mm-hmm. this could be interesting. And then what sold me was when they played up the animal taming
okay.
stuff. Because in the previous ones, it was something I actually didn't like about the game. It was like, you have to go and slaughter these defenseless animals to like create a bigger wallet or a bigger pack. It's like... All right. I mean, yeah, it happens. Like, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you got to skin some animals to make
more
stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for people that don't live in, you know, industrialized places like we do where mm-hmm. it's kind of done for us already or made from other things. But it always just kind of threw me off because it's like, I'm using a bazooka or AK-47 to like gun down all these animals. It never clicked with me. I'd always felt wrong. So I would mm-hmm. never
yeah,
do
you
it.
You can't get good material off of a bazooka kill.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. So, but in this one, for some mm-hmm. reason in my brain, it's like, okay, it's 10,000 BC, cavemen and these guys, they have to hunt these animals. They have
right.
to do these things like to survive. So it just made more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole taming thing of the animals. And then once I did that and was like, I got a wolf companion and that was super awesome. And a cave mm-hmm. lion and a saber-toothed tiger. And I was just like, yep, this is pretty cool. Like,
so it's, It's not like Far Cry Pokemon, though, right? Or,
not really, because it's like there's only certain types of animals that you can collect.
Okay.
So it's like you can't, or
you don't gotta catch them all.
Yeah. Or,
the way I'd heard it kind of explained, I don't know. Maybe you can say whether this is complete BS or not, but was that since it's kind of since the tools that you have and the weapons that you have are fairly simple, that they sort of end up treating animals as kind of the library of weapons in the game in a weird sort of way?
Yeah, they're weapons. I mean, okay. you still can create a fair amount of various weapons.
Okay.
Ooh, you know, bows, are there atlatls? And clubs. I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
It's basically like what came before the bow. It's like a slingshot that shoots arrows.
The throwing sticks for spears.
Yeah.
Okay. I would imagine, because you can get a sling, so okay. I would imagine that maybe, because you can upgrade the weapons,
I was giving it like the most bare bones description. It's a little bit, it's sort of more along the lines of a pocket trebuchet kind of thing, uh-huh. But yeah.
It's possible because you can upgrade the weapons, mm-hmm. As you get like various people to join your village and stuff.
Okay.
So it's possible that that's like...
The second you find out about an atlatl, I want to hear all about it.
Okay. We'll see if it's called
tweets,
that or...
I want Instagram photos.
I don't know. Okay. That's a lot.
Well, you can tweet the Instagram photo. I think they're all linked now and stuff, right? They all talk.
Probably.
We're not. I mean, that works too.
I think you can.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All
right. You can post on, because I think I've done that to pictures that I've taken at Comic-Con.
Right.
Like posted to through Instagram. It's like you can select
where it goes.
Where it goes.
Makes sense.
We sound like so old to people like, wow. These guys are like, yes, if you open the Instagram, you can select all the different choices. You can send all that the
this
social media.
This has been
medias.
File handling with Robots Attack.
Speaking of Robots Attack, if you are listening for the first time, we are a Geek Center talk show that talks about stuff like that we just talked about, mm-hmm. as well as
space
and
atlatls,
yes.
and 3D printed
atlatls. There we go.
I'm sure those will be coming.
Yeah, those will probably come sooner than you guys would expect.
Yeah. And of course, you know, entertainment and news and tech and
comics
and video games.
Drones
all
with
all that
atlatls.
Stuff. Drones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do talk about a fair amount of drones here.
It's true.
And what makes our show special, unlike many others, is you can participate on our show.
Right now. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme, and you can like our page on Facebook. You can send us a tweet. You can follow us. You can follow like our profiles. You can send us stories you think we should be covering. Let us know what you think about the stories we are covering. It's awesome. You can be a part of the show right now, live on the air, so to speak. You won't actually hear your voice, but we will.
You can have a taste of our fame. That's what you can do.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's the distilled essence of it.
It's true. It's very true.
You can be this close to it.
But more than anything else, it's fun. You should do it.
Yes. And other things that are fun are the ability to stream us whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it by going to ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, we have a pro tip for you.
You can find our station faster by searching for KSCU. Those are unique to our station on the globe.
Yeah.
That's right.
Numbers are for common people. Stick with letters.
Letters.
Alphanumeric.
Whoa. But yeah, I'm not super far into it, but I'm enjoying it. I like being able to go out, bring some people, grow your village population, which mm-hmm. lets you expand your huts mm-hmm. for people and upgrade things and yeah, just the whole like being able to use. Speaking of drones, the nature's drone, an owl, tame, like throw it up. It can go fly around, scan things for you, and stuff like that. And
it's I remember cool. like, I saw
much
that was
like
part of
drones.
The,
they can swivel their heads like.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I liked that. That was one of the cooler aspects of when you were. I caught that part of the stream. I'm like, whoa, that's actually a really nice idea. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's and you can upgrade the owl too, like mm-hmm. its abilities and stuff
nice.
Like that. So.
At what point does it gain missiles?
I don't think so. Unless maybe the ability to poop.
Yeah, let's say if you ooh, feed it enough and then send it out, it might, you know.
Sort of carpet bombing.
Yeah.
drop the bone pellets on top of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I'd sign up for that.
Receive or give?
That's a tricky question.
Well, here's something that's not tricky. What have you been up to, Jason?
I finally finished off Breaking Bad, and there was a bunch of stuff that I really like about the series. I really like the peppered in comedic elements, and I like the science being used to save the day. The characters I probably didn't like so much. But they're unlikable in ways that make sense for the characters. So it's very well done. It just, like, it ends up bugging me until the very end when they finally start using their kind of the cruddy side of their personalities for good instead of bad.
Oh, okay.
That's where it all kind of comes around and ends up satisfying.
Use your flaws for good, not evil.
Right, yeah. And, yeah, I was really happy with the ending. I'd never actually seen the very end before.
Huh.
So, yeah, I'd seen the end of all of the seasons except the very last one. And so I didn't have any big surprises going back through it again since, yeah, I'd been kind of hit and miss before. But, yeah, I enjoyed the series quite a bit. I'd like to see more stuff where it's kind of MacGyver over again, except MacGyver now with extra drama type of thing. Mm. I feel like that was kind of the cool part about that show in general. Although the MacGyver part was generally used for making controlled substances. When it wasn't, that's when it was like really cool. So
you'd like the creators of the show to maybe like reboot a MacGyver or something?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of room just for smarter characters like that. Just that maybe have a bad side to them instead of are outright like Breaking Bad type of thing. So,
heroes with darkness as opposed to dark heroes with light spots with lightness.
Right, with white spots muddled. They're like calico.
There you go.
Yeah. Or Holstein.
Mm.
Holstein heroes. There we go. I think I have my next writing assignment all ready to go.
Oh, I did catch a little bit of the Oscars.
Since it was okay.
So anything? It was pretty cool. It was nice That's to cool. see Mad Max winning.
Yeah,
I guess a lot of recognition stuff. Yeah, that was cool.
One stuff that I felt like it actually like really deserved. Like not that they like, because sometimes like you see things win like I'm not sure that one was the, but like with Mad Max, like that was a good aspect of that movie that deserves to get some recognition. And
yeah,
it was interesting seeing Ex Machina winning Best Visual Effects, because they're really solid, but I always considered them like, oh, well, that's a neat trick instead of like just mind blown type of thing.
Mm.
I save that for like my Ninja Turtles.
No.
Stuff of that ilk, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. When they were naming off all the nominees for that too, and when that one did win, I guess it was like, okay, I could recognize that because it was sort of like the idea of you don't notice when something is good. You notice it more when something's bad.
That's
so
true.
It's like they did such a good job making it so seamless that like I think it deserves to be recognized. Where
that's true.
Like I was kind of rooting for, you know, it was like, okay, hey, it's Star Wars or, you know, Ex Machina or something like that. It was like Mad Max was up for it and it was good, but it was like, I hope that one doesn't get it because the others were, should, you know, or should that get that. Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, I'm kind of glad this one got it just kind of mostly for that reason. Mm-hmm. It was just like...
Yeah, I kind of felt like it was their excuse to give it to something that was more dramatic than they normally get a chance to give it to.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
And it definitely achieves on that line. But yeah, it just seemed a little bit off to me. There's definitely people who have much bigger visual effects and have put a lot more time into it. Bigger achievements in my view.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really solid. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there were a fair number, or at least a handful of kind of surprise wins that people were, you know, some like, okay, everyone was pretty certain Leo would win.
Yeah.
But some of the others, like, I don't think most people were thinking that Spotlight would win for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think most people had their money on Sylvester Stallone, but he didn't win.
Yeah.
I think the, at least as far as I could tell, kind of the least likely person everyone thought won.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget his name, but it was in Bridge of Spies.
Okay.
The supporting actor. But yeah, like I didn't catch the whole show, but I caught like various stuff and they definitely hit the whole minority thing.
Yeah, I saw a big chunk of the Chris Rock thing on that, and it was pretty funny, and I thought he did a really good job of balancing having something really important to say with making people feel a little bit at ease with the topic also.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite moments though was like it was a video. They were like, the Oscars want to celebrate Black History Month. Did you see?
I heard about it, but I didn't actually see
it. And like Angela Bassett comes on, she's talking, is like, you might remember him from, and he names off a couple of films, and you're starting to think like, okay, I think I know who they're talking about, you know? And you're like, I'm not sure. And then like at the end, she's like, Jack Black. And then a picture of Jack Black comes up. I was like, oh man, Black History Month.
Oh,
like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I also want to give a little shout out to Jonas Rivera, who works at producer at Pixar, and his win at their win on with Inside Out. Good on ya.
Yeah.
Cousin of my wife, so I'm like, it's like that's kind of rad. It's like it's a little family connection. So, SF State alumni. That's very cool.
Local. Yeah, I was
locally grown.
Indeed, local grown talent.
Yeah, that one I wasn't too surprised. That was going. Like,
yeah,
it's probably gonna go to Inside. Not enough. I mean, the film was really good, so it's not a knock to it. It's just like that was a category I wasn't super shocked that it. You know, it won. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always kind of like, interesting to see, like, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, when you know someone.
What are the other contenders for that category? Do you know? Or
I think The Wind Rises was one. Let me pull up the list.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that was still this year. Oh.
No, there was...
Yeah. Was it a different one? Oh, shoot. I am confused.
I forget.
Okay.
That's the only one that kind of sticks out. I know. Yeah. Oh, well. Caleb can look it up.
Okay.
Since we have the power of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But
give me just a second.
It's handy, this internet thing.
Yeah.
I've heard that you could link like different accounts on the internet together and post pictures.
Wow.
Like around on them.
Well, that's what?
Amazing. Yeah.
Whoa.
I think it works on that friend face one. Yeah.
Amazing.
See, the animated features were Anomalisa, Boy and the World, Inside Out, Shaun the Sheep, the movie.
Oh, okay. Shaun
and
the Sheep.
When
the
Marnie
one
was there. That's the Miyazaki one.
Okay.
That's the Studio Ghibli, at least.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sean one was the other one I recognized.
Right.
Okay, I recognize that one. The others, I sort of know of, but...
Yeah, I think two of them are definitely foreign, but so not or the non-English language, so that might be part of it also.
Oh, I got to say, though, before wrapping it up, Louis C.K. thing, when he came out,
okay,
it was funny, but like... Because he came out and he presented for like short documentary film. Okay. And so he talked about like, yeah, man, like unlike a lot of these other awards, this is like really means something to the person who wins it. Because everyone else, it's like, okay, yeah, it's great. But, you know, you're millionaires. You're going to go home to your mansions, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, it distressed that a whole bunch. Did him. And then the person who won came out and like... She won previously, and her thing was, like, attached to HBO, I think. It was, like, it was just kind of funny because by no means am I implying that she's a millionaire or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she had it was just,
like,
than...
yeah, it was kind of the opposite than what he was, you know, describing. Uh-huh. It was like, so it was kind of funny. It's like, in that sense, like,
well, irony there for
that
you.
That would be funny if she's literally, like, a millionaire and just does it for a hobby. Like, yeah, I was bored. Turns out I'm good at it. Keep winning these things.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Let's just make another one.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like winning?
Ask Leo.
I heard he was quoted as saying, like, when at the party afterwards where they engraved the names on the statues, when Leo leaned over to his engraver and is like, so do you do this every year? I wouldn't know.
So.
Yeah, I saw an interesting thing that it was a picture, it was a collage of DiCaprio's face, except they were all like slightly different, and it was a challenge, like, pick the face that won the Oscar, like, because it was a picture from each year that he'd attended.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like, I hadn't realized he's kept the exact same hairstyle and like little goatee thing at who knows how many of these award shows too. He's been just ready for that picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did kind of like in the middle, like, okay, you need me to have a beard for a role? All right, I'm almost there. Yeah. Oh, you need me not have a beard? That's easy to shave off. Yeah. Like,
uh-huh. He's ready for anything.
He's ready.
He's dramatically agile.
Whoa.
It's true.
I like that, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I think you should tweet him that if he's on Twitter.
I think I will.
Like, Mr. DiCaprio.
Except my phone's very dead right now.
Oh. Womp womp.
Can you use your computer?
Does the Twitters work on this thing?
Oh. I believe it works on any internet connected device.
Oh.
I have to remember how to turn it on again. Oh, the camera's not working.
Oh,
it doesn't recognize me with a microphone in front of my face.
What?
And oh, goodness. I can't move slightly to the side or anything.
Goodness.
Goodness gracious, great balls of San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Sounds like a plan. And it's a good thing to do, too. So, do you want to jump into the watch party, or do we want to grab a little bit of music before we transition into the next bit?
Let's play a little music, I think.
Yeah.
Give the audience a chance to go to their social medias of choice and participate with
That's
us.
That's right.
That
and
would be
see
great.
My upcoming if you, tweet.
Yes, to DiCaprio.
That's right.
Tag yourself in it and like favorite it and retweet it. And well,
first I have to find DiCaprio's Twitter handle.
Okay.
I don't want to tweet it to the wrong person.
That's true. You want the verified one.
Yes.
Not like a correct fan account because you tweeted it. Although maybe if you tweet a fan account, maybe the fan account will then retweet it.
I'll
and
do
then,
like six different fan accounts and they'll
hey,
just,
there you
yeah,
go.
Just
ricocheted around through a bunch of different little Twitter bots and
it eventually will get there.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's play some music, and then we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We are now stepping into what we call the watch party. If you're unfamiliar with that, we each got to select by the roll of the die,
mm-hmm. Right.
A series that none of us had watched before, and we go through it episode by episode, usually a couple episodes at a time. But it's a short series. So far, mm-hmm. we've done three animes. We're on the third anime, which is titled Devil's a Part-Timer.
Yes.
Which comes courtesy from Jason's choice.
Yes. It's straight from my brain.
Yes, straight out of it.
Yes.
Yeah,
as most animes are.
Yes. It's 13 episodes.
Japan is a myth. It's mostly my brain.
But just your brain. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's good to know. You heard it here first, folks. Mm-hmm. Japan right. does not exist. It's just a myth. It's in Jason's brain.
Yep. Sorry, Japan.
It's quite the extension there.
Yeah. But yes, it's a 13-episode series, and we mm-hmm. are going to be talking about...
Episodes 11 and 12 tonight.
That's right. We're close to the end.
Yeah, closing in.
And, you know, you might think, oh, well, crap, they're almost done.
It's never too late.
Nope.
Never too late at all. Now, if you don't want these two episodes spoiled, then maybe, like,
Sorry.
Come back in a little bit or whatever.
You can either learn time travel or go to where?
RobotsAttack.me. Archives of the show are there. You can listen to us talk about the show leading up to it. You can leave comments. You can tell us what you think of it. It's awesome.
Perfect. Thank yes. you very much.
You're
and
welcome.
We're always open to suggestions.
It's true.
And we promise they won't always be anime.
Yes, it is.
Because not everyone likes anime. Mm-hmm. It was easy to kind of go with first because they're a little easier to find mm-hmm. some shorter series.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I think probably the big thing, too, is it was really easy to find something that none of us had seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that as well.
So anyway, let's jump into episode 11.
Yes, episode 11. The hero stays true to her convictions.
Does she really, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So this...
I endorse that.
Very, very good, very good. So this one opens up several characters with a giant delivery at the doorstep of the apartment of Mao.
That's right. They got the delivery from their landlady.
Yes.
Like she's in Hawaii and
yeah.
a bunch of packages show up. Hey, sell these at the...
sell yeah. these at the festival. Okay.
They're all personalized pictures of her.
No. They wouldn't be able to sell those only because they couldn't get them. They have the strength to put them out right, on the,
that's
the
true.
Thing.
They'd all end up sick.
Yes.
Like the general.
Mm-hmm. But they enlist the help of their friends. And in this episode, we get a little bit of... history about a little more history about Suzuno and kind of where she comes from and what her stake in all this is, because up until now she's been,
and she gets a cool nickname too.
Yes, it's true. Up until this point, she's been fairly mysterious. Like, we know she comes from Inte Isle, we know that she's affiliated with the church, but we don't know exactly what her role is, other than like she is some sort of enforcer for the church. Or a sect. It's a little bit unclear who she is until now we find out she's part of the Inquisition. So there's that.
Right.
And she has a gigantic...
Massive mallet that comes out of her hairpin, because that's totally awesome. Wonderful use of hammer space there, fellas, or writers, I must say. That was well done.
Gotta hike up the anime a mm-hmm. little bit.
Yeah, every so often they dip into the, like, yes, these are anime tropes, and we're using them to our advantage as a writing and artistic team. Like, that's really cool. So, like, we find out more about her and also we finally get a certain amount of revelation about who exactly she's been
taking orders from.
Yeah, kind of getting orders from, and who it is that was attacking Emmy, the hero, the other time with the scythe.
Mm-hmm.
We finally find out who that person is.
Yeah, from some episodes back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
were you shocked who it turned out to be?
No. If you didn't catch the hints from the earlier episodes, you just weren't paying attention.
Yeah, there weren't that many extra characters. That
yeah.
I mean, I guess it could have been the roommate or the friend at work of Emmy's.
That would have been yeah.
That would have been quite the twist. Yeah. But
yeah.
Yes, there's only so many speaking roles in the show, and you can take your pick of which character you think it is.
Yeah.
I thought this one actually was kind of interesting because it also like starts uncovering sort of the politics of Entei Isle and like how there's the internal politics of the church and also the external politics of the national governments, and like it's always the question of which one's actually in control of what and who has power and how is it wielded and stuff like that, which was kind of interesting. Like, oh, was not expecting them to at all hint at questioning what the rights of power are and stuff like that, and who should have say in what is good or true.
It fleshes out that world quite a bit too, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because so far the show is mostly taking place
right
on this side.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So
it's funny. I think we've learned everything about that world through flashbacks. Is that not right?
Except
for the very first episode.
Yeah, episode one is the only part.
Okay,
that's
was
sort like
of an interesting.
Pretty much,
there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Emmy's like two friends showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about stuff, but yeah, I think you're right. I think most of the stuff is like flashbacks from
pretty much
character
yeah.
thinking about
life back
happened.
On the other side. Yeah.
And sizable flashbacks too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, like with all of these revelations that Suzuna reveals that she is going to kill the devil.
But
she's
who
going
does
to kill
she
Mao.
Reveal it to?
She reveals it to both Emmy and Chiyo.
Okay.
And Chiho
obviously
is upset by this.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
That was the thing that I couldn't remember last time, the reason why they were trying to keep her quiet at the swimming
town. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Chiyo didn't know that she was from there because that was a part of her being here in order to take out Satan, and that would have caused her to be like fly off the handle. So that's what they were trying to hide from Chiyo at the time. Not that
gotcha.
There were other people, just what her role was going to be.
That
fair
makes
enough.
Sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so there was a strong altercation, verbal altercation between her and Chiyo. Chiyo giving an impassioned speech, and then Suzuna once tries to get Emmy to join her in defeating the devil, and Emmy says she's not going to do that.
What?
That was actually really interesting to me. I sort of wasn't expecting it.
It's one of those like when she sort of explained herself like, oh, actually, that does make a degree of sense. But like when she first says no, you're kind of like, so you're not going to defeat the devil this way? And but like she brings up a decent one, like he just got promoted at a fast food joint. He's a long way from
yeah.
world domination.
Don't get me wrong, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they've been building that way. But she's, at least according to her own words, she's stuck around all of this time in order to eventually be the person who takes him down. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's to have a real definitive her cutting a different way was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. But also it still kind of makes sense to me because like she's her goal is to keep the devil from destroying the world, but if he's not going to destroy the world but help actually be good for the world, then he doesn't need to be destroyed per
okay.
se.
Yeah,
So it's kind of like she's sort of like the check to the balance to his check. Like, you know, it's if he were to go off rails, she would counter him and bring him back into rain. Or if he would not come back, she would try and take him out. That's my interpretation. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, sort of like one wants to take him out now. Just right. Like, okay, like right. Now's a good time to take him out. He's mm-hmm. not that powerful. Boom. The other's like, well, on the flip side, he's not really doing anything evil. So
mm-hmm.
you can kind of see like both sides. Like, well, yeah. Okay. On the one hand, if you take him out now, it does prevent him from becoming all super powerful and
I do think it
evil for evil, but
it ends up kind of interesting too, just because most of the ways that they figured to take him out end up effectively giving him the power to swat it down. And so she's really the only one that we've come across so far that would have the ability to actually take him out like quiet. And so, yeah, I'm surprised that hasn't come up more also. Everybody always comes up with these like grand, like, well, we're going to duke it out type of thing. But that doesn't work when you have things that feed off of fear flying around in the sky.
Yeah, right.
Scaring people.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Speaking of scaring people,
You're
listening to KSCU Santa Clara. We're in the watch party on Robots Attack. We're talking about Episode 11,
right.
Devil's a Part-Timer.
Yes.
And when we say speaking of scaring people, sometimes we mean the complete opposite.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary cool.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Plot twist.
Oh, man.
Okay, so what's the next plot twist, Mr. Caleb?
One of the other things is that they, at some point or another, later in the episode, Emmy and the character with the scythe start to fight again. Like, they pick another fight, and that character kidnaps effectively both Chiyoko and Emmy. And we know that they are being transited because Lucifer dropped a tracking device in Emmy's
right,
bag.
Yeah.
Like, did she know about this? No, I haven't said anything. She'd kill me if she found out.
But it's a good thing he did.
Right, yeah.
A little bit plot convenient, but whatever. You don't want to be overthinking this show too much.
Well, it makes sense, too. I mean, he seems to be the only one who's kind of looking at things from the outsider's perspective still, instead of the part-timer's perspective.
So, fair enough, yeah.
Is this the episode where the dude goes to the hospital, or is that the next episode where he finally gets the private,
the
like
this,
is the end,
right.
The end of this
right.
one? Yeah,
I'm gonna call you an ambulance. Oh, how much is that gonna cost?
Fine, I'll call you a private ambulance. How much does that one cost?
Yeah, is it covered under public insurance?
So yeah, Archiel ends up in the hospital. We're guessing from some form of malnutrition, since he's been gastrointestinally challenged for the last, like, six episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I know.
And
never gets the good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend this episode in the bathroom.
Yay. Oh, great.
Again?
More bathroom dialogue. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Does that take us into episode 12?
That leads us right into episode 12, because Sato finds out that Chiyo and Emi have been kidnapped, and he busts out and goes down to the central hospital area where they are. And we also find that Olba, the old dude that was working with Lucifer at the beginning of the show, isn't actually dead or restrained or whatever. He's still here, and he wakes up, and he's like, "So yeah, that's
inconvenient."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little too convenient.
Yes. and that leads us directly into episode 12, called "The Devil Carries Out His Duties."
Ooh, a duty.
Another bathroom episode. Yeah.
Thankfully, no.
Yeah. Oh, how much is this IV bag going to cost me?
Yes.
I'm going to hook another one up. No!
That's right. You're very nice, but no.
Yeah.
And after that, Ashelle gets up and leaves the room and and bumps into Alba out in the hallway. Yeah. And then Alba sucker punches him. Takes him takes him the heck out.
Yeah, right where he probably doesn't want to be punched.
Yeah. Right in the breadbasket.
Oh, oh. Stomach in the area down there. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Alba is able to escape. And
yeah, he uses the
transit card, to get out
with the address and stuff like that on it. So like goes and hooks up with L again.
Yep, finds Lucifer and says, "You want to go back to heaven?" And so they're obviously reforging an alliance. The devil.
So what do you think of this episode?
I liked this one a lot. It was a lot of fun.
We don't need to go beat by beat. I mean, we can.
Yet, I liked when it got into the action.
Oh yeah, that was
pretty cool.
That was the animation team like completely showing off what they can do, because they're like, we're having a lot of fun.
It's second to last episode, so
I like where it got into all of the little tricky maneuvers that we've never seen any hint that anybody could actually do before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still pretty neat since, I mean, obviously these are very magical creatures trying to fight each other. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the various versions of like shape-shifting and evasion that they come up with in that fight, I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the better half, is that what it's called?
Yes.
That's the sword, right?
Yes. That's the element that that's kind of the part of Emmy that's the half angel, effectively.
And what's his name wants it, right? What's he end up being called? It's an S, I think, right?
Shiro.
So
Sariel.
That part I don't know if I missed or what, because why did he actually want it? Does that fix him, or...
No, he just wants it to be restored back to its proper place in heaven, according to him.
Like, half angel, human, hybrid.
You're half breed. you're not right. You don't deserve this. Effectively, is what he's saying.
I mean, besides that, I mean, obviously that.
Olba tries to power up Sariel, because Sariel's abilities increase, his power increases when the closer he is to the moon, so he creates like a super moon effectively in the sky using his magic powers,
right? Which gets back to what I was talking about earlier, which freaks everybody out. It's like, why is the moon so large?
What is going on?
Right, so you might as well be just throwing energizer batteries at the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that would really charge him up, but I think you know where.
We see where you're going with. I did like there was a nice little moment, a momentary exchange leading up to this, when the devil is fighting with Shioku, but the Suzuno, and he convinces her not to necessarily fight him and like kind of like see the world from his perspective, and then like later on, like when he's like doing what he's supposed to, which is protecting the people that are loyal to him, like she's like, he has no power. And then like there's another scene where there's like a city square next or near one of the train stations, like busy, lots of people, and she's like, if this thing were to be destroyed, that would cause some pretty significant panic. And Lucifer's like, yes. But it just shows up on her shoulder effectively. It's like, oh my goodness. But just like they had a nice little exchange there of like, you're trying to help out the devil, aren't you? And she's just kind of like, yeah. Just the look on her face like, yeah, kind of.
I am.
I thought that was a nice, I thought that was a nice moment. But then like, because of the super moon, everybody, all the normal people freak out, and the devil's like, oh, well, here we go then. And starts going toe to toe with the angel dude, and that was really, really fun. Like,
yeah, I like too that they it seems like almost nobody wants to do this just because it ends up changing the character into like too much of a monster character, especially when it's going to be like a main character. But I like that they gave him like the goat feet, even if it's more subtle version of it. I liked that you actually have like the little hinge at the bottom and everything. So he does look monstrous instead of just outright like, oh, I'm just some buff dude with horns.
Right, right.
Maybe a tail.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. And also I liked the when Olba brings out the new moon, and he's like Lucifer basically turns on him as well. And and Olba's like, "What? Don't you want to go to heaven?" He's like, and then his response is like, "You can find heaven on the second floor of a tenement building." And he's like, "Ah."
Yeah.
Punch to the face.
He's letting the little punk rock kid roots come out, I think. I think that's what we're seeing. They're all becoming this realm version of themselves.
Oh yeah, and when the devil and Suzuno are fighting, like he's like lets loose, like, I know who you've been since the moment like I bumped into you. Like, you didn't fool anyone about who you are and why you're here. And just kind of like, I thought it was kind of interesting, because like, he's like, he welcomed her in, like made her a part of, sort of like be a part of their lives, knowing that she was there to kill him.
I knew it all along.
Right.
But in its own way, it also explains why RCL has been like, sort of having so much problems with his stomach, because he's been eating so much of the food. But and there's a scene where Lucifer opens up the container and sniffs, and he's like, smells celestial forcey, but what the heck? And then it's like, oh yeah, she's been making all the food, and so Asiel's been eating a really heavily, like, holy empowered food, and he's a demon. It's like,
It's a
it
nice
all
touch.
Comes
it's
back now. Together.
Yep. Flows.
That would be funny if he actually gets more powerful off of spoiled food.
That would be interesting. But yeah, the episode was a lot of fun. Then at the very end, like because the fight with Sariel was so big, because Sariel's a little bit crazy and like just a little bit, and like just letting power go all over the place. Like, the devil like sits there, lands back down, looks around, like, dang, I just got my power back, and now I'm gonna have to like go fix everything.
Yeah, use it all up for that.
Yeah, that's also when the general shows up. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, I had to go back for my cape. Go back for your cape. You're here, and it's all over.
Yeah.
Oh. Why did you even bother?
Oh. I like that you see the general like fully charged. Also, like you see like the weird like fur coming around his face, and he's trailing a tail behind him too.
Yeah,
I thought that was nice to see again. But. And now I completely forgot what I was going to say before that.
Well, while you think of that, I'm going to give you some... Well, here, I'll let you decide between PSAs to read for the folks.
Let's see.
Just don't do the ones with the X's through them.
Right. all aboard
for... I can't
read
this part.
It's all crossed out. Yeah. All aboard for a trip back in time as the Conservancy of Flowers presents a new Garden Railway exhibit, celebrating the centennial of the 1915 Panama Pacific International Exposition. In an enchanting display, landscaped with hundreds of dwarf plants and several water features, model trains wind their way through a miniature version of San Francisco's historic World's Fair, November 12th through April 10th. Visit conservancyofflowers.org for more information.
So, anything else to wrap up the episode?
I think we have most of it. Do you have any like general feelings about how the show is wrapping up, or do you feel like they like are
one more episode left?
And there's one more left, but like so far, like, you know, because like this is kind of like the climactic peak of the arc.
It's true, and there's still a lot of loose ends left, which I'm not quite used to. It seems like animes in general, they try and use the last episode as kind of the, like, well, everybody's happy now, and then they solve, like, maybe internal dramas between friendly characters or something like that in the last episode. Mm-hmm. But there's still some pretty big stuff, like whether they are going to end up actually just staying here, or if he manages to keep any sort of power to be able to at least send his journal back or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of different directions that they can still go at this point, and it's not completely tied up.
Yeah, which is probably also why the mangas are still in production right now.
Mm.
Do you think anyone's going to go back?
I sort of hope not. I can sort of envision this becoming a long-term, like, them treating this series as kind of an origin story for sort of a demonic version of Tenchi Muyo or something like that.
Okay. I suspect that Suzuno might go back, if for no other reason than to, like, essentially tell off her superiors, but I don't know if she would stay.
Mm-hmm.
That might be kind of like the thing, like she goes back, does her completes her mission, so to speak, and then, like, and I am retiring now, so to speak, and, like, going back over to Earth side, and I could see that happening. I don't think the devil's gonna go back. The devil seems rather content to life here on this side of the portal.
Well, so. Plus it seems like he's gotten to the point that he couldn't do what it would take to get all of the stuff that he wants back on the other side without completely reforging himself. Mm. And so he still has to do that at least on this side. Because if he went over there, he'd basically have to start, like, just terrorizing people again, which he'd obviously be uncomfortable with at this point.
Mm. So. True. True. Yeah. Joe, do you have any thoughts about the progression of things so far? Any speculations about the end?
I'm pretty sure they're going to stay.
Mm.
I think so. I'm pretty sure they're going to stay.
Yeah, makes sense.
I think Chiyo's going to go over to the other side.
That would be a surprise.
Just because, invest yourself more in learning about their cultures and traditions so that she can,
learn to speak their funkier language, their funky language.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever they drop into that language, it's like, oh, that's right, they aren't from Japan anymore, are they?
Yeah.
It's one of the more interesting sounding languages that we've come across in any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And really throws you off when you're first starting the series.
Yeah.
Like, wait, something's off. Like,
sort of reminds me of somebody trying to talk like they're playing their voice backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of hearing things, mm-hmm. I think it's time to take a music break.
I think it's a good idea.
We're wrapped up.
It's a good time to hear some more stuff.
11 and 12.
Yeah.
And then next week, the last episode, and then we'll, wrap up the series, your mm-hmm. thoughts and all that sort of stuff. And
definitely.
And of course, it's never too late to participate on the watch party and everything else, because, coming up later in the show, we got the news with the stories and all that stuff. So.
Yep. And so a lot of the stories nowadays have lots of pictures and or videos, so it's good to check out the links on robotsattack.me, or if you want to get them right now, facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those will be updated as we talk about the stories.
That's right. All right, let's take a music break, and then we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KCU, Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. Let's give them some new releases. Going to start us off in the theater. We've got Songs My Brothers Taught Me. on South Dakota's Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, Johnny and his sister Joshan's lives develop new challenges when their absentee cowboy father suddenly dies. The loss prompts Johnny to strike out for Los Angeles, but would mean leaving behind his beloved sister. We also have London Has Fallen. In London, for the Prime Minister's funeral, Mike Banning discovers a plot to assassinate all the attending world leaders. We also have Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, a journalist, played by Tina Fey, recounts her wartime coverage in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And then we have Zootopia. The modern mammal metropolis of Zootopia is a city like no other, comprised of habitat neighborhoods like ritzy Sahara Square and frigid Tundra Town. It's a melting pot where animals from every environment live together, a place where no matter what you are, from the biggest elephant to the smallest shrew, you can be anything. But when optimistic Officer Judy Hopps arrives, she discovers that being the first bunny on a police force of big, tough animals isn't so easy.
Mm-hmm. And if you prefer your movies on at home, you might consider picking up Creed on Blu-ray and DVD. The son of Apollo Creed seeks out Rocky Balboa, the legendary fighter that defeated and befriended his father. And he seeks to be trained to become the champ he feels drawn to be. Or perhaps you want something a little bit for everybody. Lego Star Wars Droid Tales, out on DVD. After the conclusion of the Battle of Endor, C-3PO and R2-D2 are kidnapped, and now they go back through the stories of the Star Wars saga as told through from their own unique perspective. Then there's the Danish Girl on Blu-ray and DVD, based on the true life story of Lily Elbe and Gerda Wagner. Besides being an accomplished artist, Lily is known for being one of the first people to have had gender reassignment surgery. This film covers the romance and Lily's journey to better align the exterior with her interior view of him, with the interior view of himself. Then there's Room, not The Room, just Room, on Blu-ray and DVD. A young boy and his mother live in a rather idyllic life. They're together, safe and reasonably happy. But the extent of their world is a 10 by 10 room. When they concoct a plan to escape, what will they find beyond their four walls?
I was actually at one of the wins last night. A former Community star.
Yeah.
Won for that.
Best actress, yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, meanwhile, in the world of video games, we have Dungeons and Robots.
Huh. Not dragons?
No, robots.
Robots. Not robot dragons?
See, to me, I think it should have been the other way around, just because you actually play as the robots in the dungeons, so I think they would kind of trump the dungeons.
Yeah, one would think.
But still, I mean, you get to play as robots in dungeons, so...
Sounds like fun.
Fits.
Innovative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next up, we have Screen Cheat. This one I actually think is pretty clever. I don't know if the gameplay would get really tiresome really quickly, but basically it plays off of the old idea from the split-screen shooters where, stop looking at my screen, you're cheating. Mm-hmm. The only way to actually see your opponent, period, is to look at their screen.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, clever. You have to cheat. Next up, we have Alkaline's Gun, not spelled like the normal Alkalines at all. It's coming to PS4 and Xbox One as well as PC, and it's kind of interesting because it's kind of a 50s take on sort of a Hitman genre type game.
Oh, okay.
Next up, we have The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD Remake, complete and replete with amiibo.
Fun.
I guess not replete, because it's not like it comes with 12 of them.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes with 12. I haven't seen the box.
That's the super special box. Platinum Edition collector or something. That may not be true.
Anyway, it's really neat seeing a kind of dark, gritty, but beautifully recrafted version of a Zelda game, because things have been pretty cheery for a long time.
It's true.
We need some grit in Zelda. Mm. We need some drama.
Yeah, that one had it.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. At least that's what I heard did.
Here's something.
What's that?
I think you do know.
Yes.
But maybe someone out there doesn't know.
Okay. What's that?
If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
You can find us faster by searching for KSCU. All right, now we're going to jump into the realm of comic books.
It's can be a fairly busy week for your pull list, perhaps, because it's Batman and Robin Eternal 22 from DC. The events of the last issue are still shaking the Bat family to the core.
Shaking.
The trap has sprung, and will any survive?
Cores.
Then from Marvel, it's Black Widow number one. Natasha lives a life of shadows, secrets, and subterfuge. The hardest thing about secrets is keeping them. So when several of the darkest secrets she knows come to light, S.H.I.E.L.D. allies and foes alike are gunning for her. It will draw on all her courage, strength, and training to survive this, and find the real source of the leak. Jason, you'll probably like this one. It's a new from Dark Horse. The series is Predator, Life and Death, number one.
Okay, it's got points for me so far.
Colonial Marines are dispatched to a distant planet to secure an object for Weyland Yutani.
Bonus points.
A dangerous but seemingly straightforward mission. So naturally, it's all going to go sideways. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, who was prepared for the galaxy's most dangerous hunters to show up? The answer is no one.
Okay, okay.
From Image, this is a new Walking Dead. 152. United in Fear.
Imagine that.
I know. Then from IDW, it's Danger Girl Renegade number 4. Abby chases past, near and distant, is catching up with her. Thrills away in this conclusion to the story arc. And in notable trade paperbacks and graphic novels, it's DC Bombshells Volume 1 Enlisted. Brings together the first 6 issues of the hit series.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Then our friends at Wild Cool have some hot picks this week. There's a new Peter Milligan series called The Discipline. That one's for mature readers. Then there's one called Giant Days, Prophet Earth War, number 2 of 6. And then the Complete Women's, that's W-I-M-M-E-N apostrophe S, comics. And the Wild Cool team, their top pick is The Long-Awaited Art of Charlie Chan Hawk Chi by Dr. Fate and Shadow Hero artist Sunny Liu.
Cool.
All right, I'll wrap us up with some music. We've got You Know Who You Are by Not a Surf. It's the 8th full-length release for the New York indie rock band. We've got Moog Memory by Matthew Bourne. 2nd full-length release for the British pianist. Features songs created with the 1982 classic Moog Memory Moog synthesizer.
Oh, that's a lot of Moog.
That's the best of the Moogs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of the Moogs.
All of them. There's Full Circle by Loretta Lynn, the first release in a dozen years for the country artist. Features guest appearances by Elvis Costello, Willie Nelson, and was produced by John Carter Cash and her daughter, Patsy Lynn Russell. We have A Season in Hull by The Wave Pitchers. The latest release from the British rock band was acoustic and live recorded in one day through one microphone.
Whoa.
But no turntables. There's color
you
theory.
You can't do that with a Moog.
Nope. Man. That's not what I was referring to. But Color Theory by Submotion Orchestra, the 4th full-length release for the British band, features guest appearances from Andrew Ashong, Billy Boothroyd, Catching Flies, Ed Thomas, and Still.
But no Beck.
No mm-mm. Beck.
No, Bottles and Cans or Bottles and Cans.
Nope. All right, I think we're just going to jump straight into
news.
That's right. Let's news them.
All right, I'm going to kick it off with one of the things that's been most exciting about these advances in robotics and material sciences and 3D printing has been the proliferation and the surge of lower cost but accurately fitted and useful prosthetics and or exoskeletons. This one is specifically about an exoskeleton that, now this is going to sound like a lot, but it's a relative statement. It's a 40K exoskeleton, but it will allow a paralyzed...
As in the expense, not the year.
Not the year or the game.
Okay, yeah.
There is no war or hammers in relation to to these 40Ks.
There's some pretty good exoskeletons in that game.
Can you attach a warhammer to this exoskeleton?
I'm sure you could make one to carry with you, but this exoskeleton was designed by a team from...
from Suit X. It's called the Phoenix, and it allows a person that has been paralyzed from the waist down to stand and walk.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
standing and delivering.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, and as I said, the price is not completely outrageous considering what it allows the person to do. And there's video and pictures of the thing, and it's a reasonably light and small exoframe. Like it doesn't. Okay. It's so you would
it's
not
form fitting.
You wouldn't look like completely out of place wearing one. You would look a little bit different because not most people don't have them, but
different. Oh. Awesome.
They gain so much more extra maneuverability, and they can, the person can move
in that they actually have maneuverability.
Yeah. They aren't tied to a chair anymore. Like if they needed to walk up like a flight of stairs in an ancient location to like look out at a view, they wouldn't have to wait, or they can actually go themselves. And things like this, like it opens up the world to people that had to figure out
how to run on.
It has a battery.
Children's dreams.
A battery pack.
Find some kids. My kids are dreaming.
Right. Well, it's wireless.
I need to be around kids. Oh, there's charging. No kids around here.
Now
you need to carry a kid, strap it to the back. Dreaming, kid.
It's got a battery pack around the back the waist connects to a harness for the spine and shoulders. Because if you don't have like the muscular control to hold your body upright with the legs, then you need a little bit of assistance there. But you know, with that and some of those like kind of forearm crutches, like you're it can get pretty good speed.
It's pretty amazing what they're coming. I remember seeing another story about an arm based off of Metal Gear
mm-hmm.
5.
Mm.
Yeah, and a lot of people are making 3D printed stuff for kids to, you know, prosthetic hands and designing it make it look like Star Wars stuff. And it's
an Iron Man too.
Iron Man's been a popular one. Yeah, so this is. Not necessarily golden age.
Stuff.
It's beginning of a lot of really cool things, and it's just really rad. I like it. Keep going, world.
Okay, well, my story comes from the opposite edge of the side of the planet, in Australia. I think I said that right.
That's pretty good.
Is that how you do it? Okay. Anyway, Australia. They have this like big problem that they don't have like a bunch of like wars to fight and so on. So when they build a drone, they're like, well, what are we going to do with it? Well, they do have sort of a little bit of a war, and that's a war on sharks.
Mm.
Because Australia is filled with dangerous things.
There's quite a few of them.
Right. And unfortunately, whereas the rest of the world, sharks are just feared for no good reason. It's pretty good reason to fear them in Australia. That's where the actual man-eating sharks live. Like all of them. I don't know why they get together there. Maybe Australians taste like really good. I don't know. Anyway, so it is such a problem that a drone Air Force is being put into production. And it's actually kind of clever. It's sort of the basic stuff. It actually depends mostly on a camera that's high resolution so that they can actually fly the thing around and spy on all of the sharks. And the sharks promptly say, what's happening down here is private, but they ignore them because safety of swimmers and whatnot. The other side of it is that it doesn't look like they're rigged up this way yet, but the plan is to have them actually drop a packet that ends up putting a shark disposal or dispersal chemical in the water along with a raft and a small amount of supplies for people to survive in said raft until help arrives.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
that's
really
pretty clever.
Pretty neat. And see, this is probably my favorite part of it because everybody's doing the newfangled drones with like 4, 6, 12, 18 rotors on them. This is a classic helicopter drone.
Oh, wow.
Just one rotor.
Whoa.
I know.
Old school drone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm loving this thing.
You gonna move to Australia so you can?
No, because there's still all the dangerous things. I just figure I probably don't need to drone all that much.
Maybe they'll make a drone for each of those dangerous things.
Right,
and then they'll have little so funnel web drones.
Spider drones that just like follow funnel web spiders around and harass them right back.
Oi, funnel webs, come on, shoo, shoo.
Soon Australia will just be covered with drones everywhere. And then that will be one the can problem. Only hope.
Right. They'll have to start enlisting those same animals armed with anti-drone.
Yeah. So drones to take on drones.
That's only a problem once they make the self-replicating drones, which nobody has had the heart to do so far.
So instead of
because drone sex is still awkward.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Instead of a rabbit-proof fence, it'll not be a drone-proof dome or something like that?
One can only hope.
It's possible. Well, I think they had drones in Ghost in the Shell. Did they have drones in Ghost in the Shell?
Yes. Sort of.
Okay, well, that's how
they
this sort of
They had spider
ties.
AIs.
Well, there you go. We talked about spiders. You mentioned Australia. So right. That kind of ties in with this story. It looks like... I think this will be exciting for us.
I'm already excited.
Are you already excited? Lay it on me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Netflix is producing an original anime series with the Ghost in the Shell studio.
Ooh. Neat.
I just got shivers.
The series
I sort of did it myself about halfway. I'll be honest. Okay. But
the rest was
down my back. That just happened natural.
Well,
yeah.
There's more, so maybe get those shivers ready.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. The series is going to be called Perfect Bones and will be directed by Kazuto Nakasawa, who is perhaps best known for directing the Oren Ishii animated sequence in Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill. That was an awesome part.
That was.
As well as for being a key animator on parts of The Animatrix and a major creative presence on the series Samurai Champloo.
Uh-huh.
Some solid things right there.
Some definitely well known for their animation quality.
I think they did my favorite part of the Animatrix, the one with the weird, like, anti-gravity, like, broken area.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool. Perfect Bones premise sounds like a perfect anime fair. The story is set in a future where scientists are genetically modifying children to dream more so they can run, you know, those things. To be super beings when something goes wrong, naturally.
Of course.
For their part, Netflix is trying to diversify as much as possible with the original programming.
We can't make this up.
Nope. But, they also ventured into anime with the Knights of Sidonia years ago.
That's true.
Offering that.
I saw the first season. Pretty solid. I highly recommend it.
Nice. Production IG, which will be producing the 12-episode Perfect Bones, has a very impressive resume, including both seasons of the Ghost in the Shell TV show, the end of Evangelion movie, and a little show you might have heard of called Attack on Titan.
That one.
So
never heard of it.
So yeah, who knows when exactly the series will drop? As we know, anime can take a little while to be created, but
because of all the drawing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, it's got the recipe for something solid.
Hopefully, something's a brewing.
Hopefully, it all comes together. And speaking of coming together, where was that one? Project Sentinel. Does your landlord tell you that your children cannot play outside? They've got to. Maybe the landlord is like, the kids need to dream going back to the thing. Mm-hmm, all right, I'll stop talking about that. If so, you have experienced housing discrimination. Children have the same rights as adults. More information is available by calling Project Sentinel at 888-324-7468.
Very cool.
Is it cool?
Well, it's cool that there is a place to get help. So
right, okay.
Yeah. Well played.
Thank you. Continuing with this theme of cybernetics and robotics... There is a new robot from the fine folks at Boston Dynamics, which means that some people will be thrilled and others will be just a little bit itchy about this one. Recently the DARPA challenge came up for bipedal robots, so that, you know, trying to deal with traversal of terrain and moving objects, et cetera. Boston Dynamics had a bipedal robot already that was called Atlas, and it was very
creepy.
It was astonishingly good, but it was
restrained by the fact that it had to be plugged in effectively to function.
And it was large and scary.
For those that don't know what a bipedal robot is.
Vaguely human.
Vaguely humanoid robot. And there is a new version of Atlas that has a battery pack and is about a little bit over 5 foot. I think that is around 5'9".
So it's less scary.
Yes. But it's...
Until they put a creepy doll head on it. Then it's going to be scary.
Well, it's going to get a... Then it'll have a creepy doll head, and that makes it immediately scary.
What? You know they're going to do it.
But anyway, this...
I mean, they're owned by Google.
This robot is reasonably agile. The video shows it walking through natural terrain, dealing with the fact that snow is not a stable substance. And then when it gets back into the lab, the scientists, many people have been making fun of this, as like, this is when the robots will remember this and begin their uprising, because they show it picking up a box and one of the engineers knocking the box out of
with
the robot's hands.
Stick.
Yes. And then when Atlas goes down to reach for the box, he scoots it away with said hockey stick. And
he's playing box hockey.
Yeah, but the really fascinating thing is like how well the robot responds to these changing stimuli, and
right.
how it doesn't get even
the slightest bit angry.
Yeah, and how naturally it moves. The real kind of like whoa moment was when like one of the engineers actually knocks the robot over, like onto his face, and then it kind of after a moment like it kind of assesses where it is, and then it just pops back up again, and like whoa, it's pretty nuts, but it's really cool, and it's so fascinating how far where we're going, and like the purpose of this robot is to assist in unsafe working conditions for humans in like disaster relief. That's the purpose of designing this robot
/ being creepy.
Some people think so.
Okay, next up we have a solution for solar power that comes in kind of a weird package from a few different angles. First off, they made it off of sort of the blueprint of moth size.
Moth size? Like, is it...
Moth eyes.
Eyes, oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard size, too.
Eyes, not moth scythes.
It's moth size. You can just flap around your little face.
Right.
No.
I wouldn't be as terrified by that robot if it was moth size.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
But a moth's eye.
A moth's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other side of it is that it's made with the new super material, graphene.
Woohoo, graphene!
Ooh, makes its comeback. It's
right.
Been a while since we talked about that.
And so you put it all together and it allows you to have solar power indoors.
Ooh.
Huh.
And it's not even really just limited to solar power, which is kind of the extra little boost that's nice about it. Because of the sensitivity of it, it allows you to have a solar conducting medium that's super sensitive that allows things to work indoors because of the lower light value that's produced by indoor lighting versus the sun, which is obviously very bright because it is harsh on our eyes whenever we go into the big blue room.
With that lens flare effect. Ah.
Right. But it's also so effective and so sensitive that it runs off of any other type of waves in the vicinity, which includes radio waves, like television, microwaves. So you could put it on the outside of your microwave, and it fractionally help run the microwave, I guess. I think that's probably not the best way to use that. But...
So if you put that with one of those leaf antennas, would you be able to get your TV and power the amplifier for the antenna in the same object?
I'm not sure it's enough energy to actually amplify anything. But it does end up kind of bridging the gap into territory where, like, we used to be used to. Okay, I need to learn how to talk better than this, especially on a radio show. But, like, people are familiar with the old-style calculators that had a little solar cell on them.
Yeah.
Well, it ends up putting it more in the range where it would generate enough power because of all of the different sources of things that you could have a wider range of things powered by it. So maybe things like watches end up picking up a little bit of charge over the day, so you don't have to worry about like jogging in order to charge a watch because it has some little weird cyclonic thing or something like that.
Okay. So, or worry about if you're like you're indoors most of the time, like it, and not getting as much sunlight, it wouldn't have to worry about the solar cells not charging or whatever.
Exactly. Now, I didn't see anything about it, whether it makes it even better at absorbing like actual outdoor solar or not. I need to read up more on that, but it's still really interesting stuff, an odd combination of technology to create some pretty interesting effects.
Yeah, very cool. All
right, it looks like it is a tumor.
Ooh.
Giant dinosaur had two tumors on its tailbone.
Oh.
Is okay.
Now,
I was trying to figure out how to do Schwartz Rex.
It's fairly common to discover dinosaur remains scratched with ancient claw or bite marks, but finding fossils with signs of tumors is rare.
Mm.
And now scientists
that
have found...
That is interesting,
actually. Yeah, actually, I remember that.
There's a lot of carcinogens in ancient air, according to all of the stuff.
Uh-huh. And now scientists have found not one, but two different types of tumor on the same bone.
Huh.
Same bone.
Oh.
The same dinosaur has got some bad tumor.
The vertebrae of the titanosaur, a gigantic long-necked, long-tailed paleo beast.
Naturally.
In new study founds, of course. I mean, if you're going to put Titan in the name, it's got to be big.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Quote, finding any disease in fossils is rare. Yeah. Says the study's lead researcher, Fernando Barbosa, a doctoral student of geology at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
Mm.
Cancer is still is most rare because the majority of them do not leave signals in bones. The finding is the first known case of a tumor in a dinosaur that isn't a duck-billed dinosaur.
Huh.
The researcher said. The 7-inch long fossilized vertebrae discovered in 2012 in Brazil's southern Sao Paulo state belongs to a species in the titanosaur family, the most abundant Cretaceous dinosaur family of South America, the researchers wrote. However, the 90-million-year-old bone had an unusual appearance, a small bony button-shaped protuberance, yes.
Best word ever.
Mm-hmm. The researchers wrote in the study, curious, Barbosa and his colleagues decided to investigate the weird bump, which measured about 0.3 inches. They found evidence of two tumors, both benign. One's a bone overgrowth, with their which the researchers confirmed with a computer tomograph scan and an examination of the fossil structure. Then the other is a harmless vascular tumor. Quote, we were very lucky finding this because we didn't have any evidence of any of the vascular tumor. It was diagnosed with a scan, which is only possible because we were investigating the radiological appearance of the bone, like overgrowth. So they were looking for one, but then discovered... it's not the first ancient animal to have an overgrowth. The oldest known
protuberance.
Case, yeah, dates to the early Carboniferous period, spanning 359.2 million to 299 million years ago.
Oh, okay, that's a while ago.
In a North American fish with a long ass name, I'm not going to read. Also a marine reptile, and a crocodile. But yeah,
we don't have this day in history for those time frames.
Yeah, not quite enough history was actually written at that time.
But fair yeah, enough. Look, even dinosaurs were affected by cancer. Man,
yeah, man.
Cancer. It does not discriminate.
It does not.
If you learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
better than the Oscars.
What?
No. I'm sorry.
Quickly, save us. Caleb, save us. Save
all
us
right.
from that.
How about this? With all the excitement about gravitational waves, what comes next? The world
like, so recently the scientific astronomy world was rocked when people made, when the discovery of the detection of gravitational waves was made. It was huge. Now, obviously, now that we have this, the question is, where do we go from here? One of the things that has is being proposed is to use pulsars in a formation to create sort of a network of gravitational waves with which we can use to better understand distance, time, and space itself. Hmm. We can actually start mapping space not just in terms of visual distance, but in terms of also like gravitational distance and relationships between things. And basically, like, science is like exploding with cool things in astronomy. One of the things that makes this unique is that it doesn't take like an enormous event like two black holes colliding to create gravitational waves that we can detect. Now that we know what to look for, we can start creating arrays of other satellites and other detectors and other types of detectors here on Earth where we can start looking for the smaller fluctuations and the varying types of fluctuations. There's speculation that actually gravitational waves operate not unlike visible light, where there is, you know, parts that are detectable by humans and then parts that you need to like extra sensitive things to that type of gravitational wave to detect it. So it's a brave new world for astrophysics, and it's very, very cool.
Nice. Okay, I have one last story, and that's from the wild and wonderful world of the DICE Summit. There was sort of an interesting crossover with, I guess at this point, former magician. I don't think he does all that much of it anymore, but Penn Jillette teamed up with Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford in the keynote presentation for the DICE Summit. And from what I've heard of it, it actually sounds pretty interesting because a lot of it was speaking to how magic can be oddly applied to how to make interesting video game design.
Mm-hmm.
Penn Jillette was citing how like you're used to seeing somebody do a card trick, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and you see them do what you just assume is like, okay, pick a card, and they have the entire thing all planned right off the bat. But what it really is they have a whole range of card tricks, and whatever card that person picks ends up deciding at least partially what kind of card trick ends up being done.
Mm-hmm.
And it can end up unfolding in a bunch of different ways, not unlike a lot of the story-based or story-driven video games that we're seeing these days.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting how you can apply normal like misdirection and stuff like that into a video game type setting. And you add to that that a long time ago, that Penn Jillette had something to do with a little video game that's been much maligned called Desert Bus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember the Desert Bus.
He's apparently working with, Penn Jillette is working with Randy Pitchford right now on the new version of Desert Bus.
Hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what that turns out like, because it's been so made fun of at this point that they actually do charity drives where people are forced to play this game for extended periods of time in order
to... What do you mean forced?
Right. To earn the charity that they're getting. Anyway, so if you take a gander at the link that we're going to provide, we actually have the entire interview if you want to peruse it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll wrap us up with this day in history, which is
all right.
Special because...
Oh, yeah, it's a leap year.
Well, 46 BC, the first leap day proclaimed by Julius Caesar... Then we have...
Leaping Julie.
Yeah, then we leap all the way to 1692. Three women, Sarah Good, Sarah Osborne, and Tituba, were the first to be accused of witchcraft in Salem, Massachusetts.
Ooh.
Then we go to 1796. George Washington proclaimed Jay's Treaty in effect.
Hey, I have a treaty.
Nice.
Then we jump to the 40s, 1940. Hattie McDaniel became the first black woman to win an Oscar. She won the Best Supporting Actress Award for her role as Mammy in Gone with the Wind.
Okay. Okay.
And 4 years later, 1944, General Douglas MacArthur led the invasion of the Emirality Islands?
Emirate?
No. Admiralty Islands? Something. 1960, Hugh Hefner opened the first Playboy Club in Chicago. That's easy to read. 1968, Robert McNamara resigned as Secretary of Defense in the wake of the Tet Offense. Civ. And then in 1972, Hank Aaron became the first baseball player to sign a $200,000 a year contract. So there you
go. Nice.
Some info that happened on a leap day, leap year.
That's some rare info.
Some rare leaping. Yep. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack. Thank you for listening. And, of course, it's never too late to participate.
That's right. If you want to participate, you can still go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those have links to the stories we've talked about. You can retweet us. You can like us. You can comment on our page. All that good stuff. But if you want one place for all things Robots Attack, go to robotsattack.me. That has archives of the show. You can catch up on our anime watch parties. You can also leave comments. You can share it with your friends. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. Give us suggestions for stuff.
Definitely.
Be like Leap and Julie Caesar and
proclaim.
Do something new. Yeah. Try it out.
I like it. All right. Take it easy, everyone. And remember, you're listening to KACU Santa Clara.
Raccoon. Baronin.